Alrighty then, there we go. It's Monday. It's, well, it feels like, I don't know, early to mid-October outside. It's very cool, very clear, but not too bad. And yet, here we are approaching. We're in the middle of June, exactly in the middle of June. This is a Monday, so this must be North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns, of course, will be here. Checking with Tim in just a second. But we have sort of a Cape Ann lineup here tonight. We're trying to
sort of see what's playing out here for the high schools and how it's going to work in terms of coming up in September, as most of the high schools now have they've passed their graduation dates. I'm not sure that they've actually passed their graduations, but they have passed their graduation dates, and so the sports season, had there been one, would be pretty much over at this point, probably just the state championship games going on right now. And they, of course, are not. I'm hung up on my cords here. Hold on, Tim, are you there?
Yeah, just imagining you hung up on the headset,
yeah,
as usual.
I got it wrapped around my neck, and here we go. Okay, here we go. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm well, Rick.
All right, we got Roy Gentile, who's the Gloucester High School baseball coach. We've got him coming up. We've got Dan O'Connor, second-year Gloucester High School football coach. We'll be talking with a little while. Also going to be checking with Jeff Hutton, who's the Manchester Essex football coach, see how he's doing and what's on his plate. And, of course, the venerable Gary Larrabee will be stopping by once again. There was a golf tournament over the weekend, lots of sports news happening right now with NASCAR back up and running, with the PGA back up and running. And speaking of NASCAR, Tim, a couple of notable things this week. The NFL apologizing for how it dealt with Colin. Well, not really with how it dealt with Colin Kaepernick, but how it dealt with the kneeling situation. The NFL apologizing and NASCAR doing away with the Confederate flag.
Well, excuse me, you caught me unawares. The Confederate flag issue will be interesting because so much of the NASCAR experience is centered in the South. And the Colin Kaepernick issue for the commissioner to come out and say, we were wrong, we didn't listen to the players, we should have listened to the players, you know, without saying, you know, we were wrong to ostracize Colin Kaepernick, is rather shallow, because he bore the brunt of the blame and the shame that was laid on him by Trump and by the weakness of the leadership of the NFL to stand up at a president and go, you know, you don't dictate what we do in this league, but they allowed him to do that, and they caved in to Trump and his own prejudices, and they come out looking the worst because of it. And Goodell's apology was just weak, you know, and not to cite Colin Kaepernick and the impact it had on his career and how it basically ended it was shameful.
I think that there will be a change, some kind of a climate change with respect to the NFL very soon. I also think that the way that Drew Brees got caught up in this is significant, Tim, because in effect, I think he got a very quick education, and he responded to that.
Well, once again, you know, there was such a backlash to what he said that he had to backtrack it. You know, and take it back and go, you know, well, I was wrong. And, you know, I talked to a bunch of my teammates. Does it take a talking to by your teammates for you to realize the insensitivity and the incorrectness of what you were saying in light of everything that's gone on? You know, he's smarter than that. We like to think he's smarter than that. We give him great credit for being a very smart and capable quarterback. And yet when it came to talking about, you know, issues that meant something, he came up rather short.
Well, maybe, but I'll give him credit for apologizing and for making an effort. And again, the money that he and his wife have donated to the city of New Orleans after Katrina and other things, that goes a long way in my estimation to saying that, okay, his heart is in the right place. He may have spouted off and spoken politically wrong, but the fact is his actions have spoken louder than words, Tim. So I got back on the. I'm a fan of Drew Brees again. I'll give him the mulligan.
Well, and you're a bit more forgiving than I. Yes, the generosity is certainly noted and noteworthy. But you know, not to be able to look at after all this time. You know, and it's about to make that really dang comment, and then all of a sudden, you know, I guess my teammates really explained it. How many times over the last few years was that situation explained to him? Okay, that he couldn't see the light of day when it was staring at his face.
Again, Tim, it's words are one thing, but actions are something else. He plays with a bunch of kids. And men who are black and have had tough home lives. He's worked with them. He's been their teammate. And again, he has supported the community. So, I certainly have said things that I regret. So I'm thinking Drew Brees is going to be the better for it. I hope the NFL is the better for it. That remains to be seen.
Yeah, again, I think, come this, if the NFL does play, I think you're going to see a lot more guys taking knees and not caring what Trump or anybody else is going to say about it.
Here's the thing. If I'm in the Army or I'm on a football team, and what has happened in this past couple of weeks has gone by. Now, I used to talk with, everybody knows Gunnar Muth at Gloucester High School, our longtime ROTC instructor, a coach in many different sports, an absolutely great, great teacher and human being. And Rick and I disagreed on this thing. My dad was an Iwo Jima survivor. I did my time in the service. My dad did 3 tours in Vietnam. And my dad would say back in the 60s when he was being spat upon, the flag was being burned, he would say, boy, I really don't like this. I hate it. But that's what we fought for. That's what we fought for in World War II, was the fact that you have a right to do this. Now, by the same token, my thing was, okay, I don't think you're disrespecting the flag. I think you're making a statement. You're not. This is not about the flag when Kaepernick took a knee. But a lot of people chose to say that it was. And final comment, if I were on a football team right now, and my teammate was an African-American kid, and he said, Rick, I'm going to kneel before the national anthem. And I would say, I'm kneeling right beside you. I would do that because, Tim, I think this is a historic time right now.
Yeah, and you know, 4 years ago when Kaepernick took that knee, like you're right, it wasn't about the flag. It was about the nation not attending to the needs of all of its people. You know, and bringing light to that issue. And that's what he tried to do, and he got pummeled for it, you know, and the commander-in-chief, I say with a deep insincerity, is saying he's disrespecting our military. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, Trump wouldn't know about disrespecting the military because he refused to serve. He had a quack doctor say he had bad feet. So, you know, he is one who should never criticize anybody. Okay.
I don't know if you ever watched the Big Bang Theory, Tim. You ever watched the Big Bang Theory?
No.
Well, there's a line in there, and one character asked another character after he said something, sarcasm over the statement you just made, you know, the commander-in-chief, sarcasm, and the other guy replied, no, thinly veiled contempt. So, I get it. I get what you were saying.
Yeah.
All right, let's take...
Except mine is not thinly veiled.
No, nor was his. Nor was his. Okay.
Let's get to sports.
Let's do it. And we were talking a little bit about sports there, but let's bring on Rory Gentile here in just a minute. He's the Gloucester High School baseball coach. We'll be right back.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
All right, I figured out some of the buttons here. All right, we got Coach Roy Gentile back on the line now, along with Tim Kearns, of course. And Coach, Coach Gentile, how you doing?
I haven't been called Coach Gentile in too long. So I'm just trying to. I'm trying to resume my identity for the sake of this interview.
Yeah, it's been a tough ride, man. It's been a tough ride. So tell me a little bit about. Let's go back to a little bit before March. I know that you were gearing up. You had a fantastic season last year. You got kids coming back. You got a junior super pitcher coming in. And tell me a little bit about the expectations that you were experiencing, you know, just prior to March 13.
Yeah, so I think you can really only use your reference points that you have. And so coming into our first season, which was last year, we had a goal of just, you know, really trying to make the tournament. And this year it was sort of like, you know, without a sense of consciousness, it was just simply our team was good enough where we knew that was the baseline. And it was just a matter of how far we could go beyond that. We had incredible leadership coming back in all the seniors. So many of the things that a lot of coaches have to worry about, the little things in terms of just the culture and keeping, newer players in line, we didn't have those problems coming in. So as a coaching staff, we were really looking forward to just taking advantage, full advantage of all the skills and strategies without having to worry about all the little things. So, yeah, that's what we were thinking coming in.
Tim, what he's talking about, you've been through, maybe you can share your experience or question, Rory, about that, because that's something I hadn't thought of, coming back second year with veteran, veteran performers.
Well, you know, mine was just the opposite. I had a lot of veterans my first year when I was the head coach, and then we lost a lot. We lost a big number of seniors there, and so we had a relatively young team coming back in 2002, and it really forced those juniors who had played a secondary role to step up. And there were those that did, and there were those that kind of missed the mark. And so that can have an impact on the team where, you know, you're looking for from leadership from your players, and it falls more on you, and you're looking for, you know, some of that stability, some of the rudders to be the kids, and it can make your life a little bit harder. But I certainly understand Rory's point that, you know, when you've got, you know, kids who've played a lot and played well and they achieve. My first year we underachieved, and so, but to have a solid season like they had last year and come back and know what the expectations are and know what you're capable of, that really makes a difference.
Rory, have you talked to the kids? I know that, you've been affiliated with high school. You're very close to these kids. You're close in age to them. Although I don't think you probably feel that way.
Hey, you know, I'd like another senior year.
Wouldn't we all? although when you get my age, every year is a senior year.
That's true.
Okay. But the thing is, we've talked to ADs and coaches all spring long, and the difficulty of this year without having spring sports and graduation, especially for seniors, has really been so emotional. Now, tell me about maybe your talk with the kids, or how it's been, if in fact you've been able to talk to some of the kids.
Yeah, we talk, and because of my close relationship with a lot of them and the fact that I am in the building, we talk more on a human level. If there's no season, I do not have to establish that that sort of line of demarcation where I'm the coach and you're the player. It's just simply like, how you doing? And that's all I'm worried about at this point, especially with my seniors who are leaving. I'm never going to be their coach again, so it just becomes an issue of whether or not I can help getting the point across that if in the future you do need me, of course I'll be there. So I would say it's definitely a more interpersonal relationship in the sense that I don't have to be the one that they're listening to in times of crisis. So it's just sort of checking in, saying how you doing, and understanding that no matter how difficult this has been for me, it's been triply difficult for them. So
I think that's
always try to keep that perspective.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective because I know Coach Ingram comes to mind. I started teaching with Coach Ingram. We've known each other for so long. And he was, as a head coach, he's the disciplinarian. He is the final say. But after the season...
What a nice guy, huh?
Well, I was going to say, but after the season is over, and probably during the season as well, if you need something, he's there. And that's the role you've taken on, and I think that is that's terrific to look for in a coach. And I know that you probably have coaches, that you learn from as well. And they're one thing between the lines. They're something else after hours.
Yeah, and you don't win 100% of the time with every kid, and so sometimes those stern moments leave a longer lasting mark than others. But I really do try to be hard on players, individually instill some sense of belief so that when I am hard on them, they know I'm going to come right back around. And if they're in a position that they needed someone to believe in them, that I would be the first one to do it. And I think that's sort of like that's the circle that you go round and round. You do bring them down sometimes, but only in the sense of trying to construct them positively.
So, Coach, what's the plan now? I was supposed to be talking with an MIAA official, Sherry Bryant, tonight, but we didn't make connections. And I don't know what the schedule is coming up, but eventually life will have to resume. We're looking for football, but what about baseball for Rory Gentile? I know you play in the Intertown League and maybe other leagues as well. Will there be baseball for you this summer?
Yeah, so tentatively, again, like you said, I want to say it's July 6th. It's not the 4th, obviously. July 6th, maybe. We just checked. And that's there's a start date that we have in mind, so like a month of play and then the playoffs. So there is a plan in place for the ITL to move on. It is the oldest, the oldest amateur baseball league in America, so we'd like to see it not miss a year. I'm sure that hasn't happened in a long time. Maybe there was some strike that the players' union went on that I don't know about, but as far as I know, the ITL has moved on for a long time, and I'm hoping that we can continue that this year.
Where do you play, Manchester or Rockport?
So I play for Manchester. Manchester Essex. I play for the Mariners. Obviously, Rockport has a rich history. We had played them in the finals the previous 2 years, I believe, that they won both. They were hot. So there's actually a lot of good competition right now in that league.
You bet. Tim, any final thoughts for Coach Gentile?
Well, I got to tell you, the biggest disappointment was to me for you not being able to open up the store because I was looking to buy one of the camo hats. We talked about it last year.
I know. Listen, I might have an extra one in my car, so the next time you see
me. All right.
Hey, Coach, I appreciate your talking with us. We'll talk to you soon, and best of luck this coming school year.
Thank you, gentlemen.
It's
been good talking to you.
Thanks, Rory. Take care.
Take care, Rory.
All right. Bye-bye. That is Coach Rory Gentile, Gloucester High School baseball. And coming up, we're going to be talking with Dan O'Connor, who is a second-year coach as well. He's the second-year head coach for Gloucester High School football. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back and talk with Coach O'Connor. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Please stay with us. And by the way, if you got something to say, say it. At msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. We'll be back.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors. Like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best North Shore. msonewsports.com.
All right, my pleasure now to bring second-year coach Dan O'Connor back on. We just talked with Gloucester Roy Gentile. Now we're going to be talking with school football coach Dan O'Connor. And coach, welcome back to MSO. How you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you all?
I'm doing good.
Yep. I'm good, despite having to deal with Rick on Monday night.
I know, that's tough. That's really bad. Dan, I don't even know where to start because this is so weird. Talking with Rory, you know, he was talking about saying goodbye to the seniors and being sort of a sympathetic ear right now. And, you know, I just wonder how it's been with your seniors. You, as a first-year head coach, these kids not able to play spring sports, and I know some of your kids did. What's the story? Were you able to commiserate with some of the seniors you had?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was fortunate enough to have contact with all the seniors just about. You know, wish them the best, you know, in their way and really urge them to make sure they stayed up and finished their senior year strong academically in whatever realm that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And really just, you know, push them to stay forward. And I know it's upsetting when you lose out on your final sports season as a senior, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small price to pay as you get older, and you wish them the best in anything that they're doing.
Coach, your first year, not the way you wanted it to be, obviously, a few wrinkles here and there. But as I talk with coaches around the league, there was a lot of support for you and for the Gloucester High School program in general. And I know that, you know, we talked when I used to talk with Coach Ingram about Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day was the beginning of the next season in so many ways. So how do we put that in perspective? Again, you got support from around the league, tough year, first year, but it was also a learning experience. And, you know, we've got that Thanksgiving game to use, to start the next season. So what are you looking at here as we approach, you know, summer?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately we got hit by the injury bug relatively early. So, I mean, that kind of sped up the process and getting some of these younger kids that we do have some meaningful playing experience at the varsity level. You know, we had a tough schedule, which is always something we're going to see when we're playing the Northeast Conference with the teams that are around here. You know, the good thing is that a lot of kids that are coming back played a lot of football last year, and hopefully, you know, they got a little bit of taste of what it does take. And you had growing pains. You had sophomores that were playing in senior spots due to injury. You had, you know, and at one point, I believe I looked out in the first half of a game at Manning Field against Lynn English. We had four freshmen on the field.
Oh, my.
You know, that's something that, you know, Gloucester hasn't seen in a while. It's only going to benefit us in the long run. You know, the kids are eager. They're excited to get going. They want to get going. And especially some of those older kids now, you know, the message for those kids who are going to be seniors is, look what happened this past spring. You know, never take a play for granted. We always talk about that, but that's living proof of what has gone on here lately the last couple of months. You never take a minute playing the game that you play for granted.
You know, Dan, as we talked last fall through the season on a weekly basis, your attitude was always so positive, and I was always amazed. It, you know, as easy as it would have been to get down, you didn't allow yourself that element. It was always getting the kids that you had available as best prepared as you could to get them to go out and to compete. And certainly they had shortages of experience, shortage of size, shortage of knowledge of the game and of the system. And despite it all, they went out there every week and they put it all on the line. And that's a great thing.
I think the staff was great. It's always easier to go to, you know, I say as a teacher, it's easy for me to go to work every day. I enjoy what I do every day. Football field, we have a group of guys that are in the coach's room, and even, you know, it wasn't what me. They fought and they battled every week. They wanted to get better. They wanted to learn from their mistakes on Monday. They wanted to watch film. They wanted to be a good team. And I think that made going in there every week, you know, that much more enjoyable. And, you know, there were games that we were in, there were games that we weren't in. You know, and that's just the nature of the beast sometimes. When you, again, you play a tough schedule, when you're asking kids to play up at such an early age. But a lot of them did step up, and that's only going to benefit us in the long run, we hope.
Coach, have you talked to other coaches about what's going on this summer, about how they're handling things, or what the plan might be to get kids together, anything like that? Or are you strictly out there on your own as the Gloucester High School coach?
No, it's a good group of guys. You know, I was talking with Coach Nolan at Danvers the other day, and, you know, we had a good conversation about kind of what his idea was, how he's handling it. And I talk to my friends at KIPP all the time and other schools around. You know, it is what it is right now. You know, it's a waiting game for everybody. You know, it's understandable. You know, you know what's going on. You want to do things in the safest possible way. Everyone's, you know, hoping that we have the fall season that goes off the hitch. And I don't think anybody wants to jeopardize that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the worst possible thing for us to do is to start getting workouts in too early, start getting all the kids and just go, you know, as we would in a normal summer and the numbers go back up, you know. So we're waiting for our city, DPW, to tell us it's good to go on the field. I know I got about 40 kids that are ready to get down there and start working and get going on this 2020 season.
Excellent. Tim, final questions for Coach O'Connor?
Well, I would have asked it earlier, but you talk about the kids in the team, and, you know, when you were playing, you know, Coach had the ability to, because the teams were so good and they could pile up points, the younger kids got experience, really, really solid experience playing, you know, third, fourth quarter. And when they rotated in that following season, they were really well seasoned and that played in a winning situation, and they brought a whole lot of confidence with them that, again, just carried over into the next year over that incredible run of years. How do you look to install that kind of idealism, excitement into your team coming back?
We got two really good captains right now, and Colby Bolcom, who does things quietly but does things on the field and in the weight room, and Zach Abbott, who does things on the field and is more of the vocal leader. And really, it's not me. And I never felt it was. And Terry did a great job. Paul did a great job. But it was really the kids. The kids have to hold each other accountable to be at workouts, to be excited to play football, to be prepared. And, you know, being on some of Paul's staff, I felt like those teams did a fantastic job of holding each other accountable and making sure one another were rowing the boat at the, you know, in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're wise beyond your years, Coach, and to evoke Terry Silva and Paul Ingram and to have those guys as mentors, I know you're a good student, so I'm looking forward to this season and the seasons beyond. Meantime, Dan, we'll catch up with you probably in a month or so when we see what's going on.
Absolutely, boys. Stay safe, and hope all is well with you and your family.
And listen, Coach, same back at you, but I have been working out. I know it's a little early to talk about skiing, but I have been working out, so that ski date is on.
I owe you a day up there.
Okay, Coach, thank you so much. Talk to you later.
All right.
Take care.
Same.
All right. That is Gloucester High School Coach Dan O'Connor. Second-year head coach, a great, great kid, and I obviously there's going to be good things for the program in the future coming right up. All right.
You know, Rick, I had both Rory and Dan as members of my baseball team.
Yep.
And you couldn't have asked for the two better characters.
Oh, yeah.
To be on the team and show the kind of the leadership that they did. Rory was one of the only one of two freshmen that I ever started that I thought were really up there to go do it, and he started in center field for me. And Mike Gibbon, who was an outstanding left-handed pitcher, he started as a freshman. But Rory and Dan, I'm so pleased to see them back in the school and contributing as coaches. They certainly make you feel proud to have had something to do with them early in their careers.
Absolutely, absolutely, great, great kids, and you know, well. They're not kids anymore. I keep saying that, but yeah. You mentioned their character, but also terrific athletes and terrific leaders. Well spoken, Tim. Thanks. Take a break. Come back with Gary Larrabee.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank. Serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our office as a call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, CapeAnnSavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Custer Employees. There are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester. Now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we're back live and with sports historian, golf writer, and golf encyclopedia, Gary Larrabee. Hi, Gary.
Hi, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Very well.
It feels a little fallish out there, but I'm guessing it's okay for the golfers.
Oh, sure. It was beautiful weather. Keeps coming 5-6 weeks in a row, and let's hope it lasts 5 or 6 more months in a row.
Ooh, I like that kind of talk. Well, Gary, I was just Tim and I were ruminating about politics, about the Confederate flag, about kneeling at football games, and we did not talk yet about golf. But golf, at least on the professional level, is back in swing, as they would say.
It certainly is. And Tim, how much money would you have wagered on Daniel Berger being the winner at Colonial?
Well, you know, Gary, I looked it up today as part of my homework. Getting ready to take you on, which is never an easy thing to do. And I went, okay, Daniel Berger, Colin Morikawa, and Jason Kukrak. Three names I've never heard or seen before are the top three finishers in the Charles Schwab Challenge. And then you finally get down to DeChambeau and Justin Rose, and it's like, okay, is this going to be another season where the young unknowns come up and lay claim to some titles?
Well, Berger's won before, so he's a little bit of a veteran in regards to the winner's circle. Morikawa missed out earlier this year, a close call. I forget exactly where it was, but he's an established player, young as he is, Asian-American, and they gave us a great show yesterday over the weekend, as did people like Xander Schauffele and Bubba Watson and Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau, as you mentioned, and Justin Rose. And, of course, Jordan Spieth broke a few hearts over the weekend when he looked like he was going to be a very likely winner. But, you know, that's what the PGA Tour is. You never know who's going to show up in the 72nd hole with the winning. Where the winning always happens. And this week it was in a playoff, Berger over Morikawa. Because as we all saw yesterday, a lot of missed short putts that could have gotten a lot more guys into that playoff, and a missed short putt that gave Berger the title.
Yeah, I saw the replay of the final putts, and it didn't look like a tough putt. It was more or less looked straight on, and it almost like he hit it too hard, and it hit that lip, and it just spun around and took an exit stage left on him.
Putting can be as tough for those guys as it is tough for us. So it's just another somber reminder that once you get on the greens of any golf course playing with anybody, that the playing field gets quite level in many respects, and Shoffley made a couple of long ones in the back nine. Yes, he would start. We're going to put him over the top. Then he missed a short one on, I believe, 15 or 16, which put him one shot behind. He couldn't make a birdie in the last three holes, and that cost him dearly, but still a great start for the resumption of the PGA Tour, even without any fans. And we'll get to Chapter 2 this week at the RBC Heritage at Sea Pines Plantation down in, in the Carolinas.
Gary.
Okay, there's an interesting article accompanying the golf this weekend. Is that players are suddenly hearing things they've never heard before during the course of a tournament. And they're hearing things like tee shots. And one of the players said that he heard a tee shot and he had to back away from hitting his own shot to gather himself because he's like, ah, I've never heard one of those before. Because it's always been the titter of the crowd noise around you. And now there's no noise around you, and you're picking up all these very, very delicate sounds from one or two fairways away.
Yeah, well, they should adapt to that pretty quickly. And, they're hearing birds chirping and probably fellow competitors passing gas. All kinds of distractions can happen out there.
Gary, give me a quick summary on the greens, reading the greens, because I couldn't get the whole article online because we didn't have a Saturday paper in either way, and so I missed it. But you alluded to your column last week about an incredible performance locally. Can you just mention that again?
Sure. 62-year-old Jack McNiff, a local lawyer with eight children, wearing a colostomy bag. He wasn't expected to do anything at the 1980, we're talking 40 years ago, Massachusetts amateur held at Salem Country Club, Jack's home course. And Jack surprised everybody by being the co-medalist with Paul Cortez from Havel at 146 for 36 holes. And then Jack wins three matches. He was the underdog in all three. He wins three matches and almost knocked off a two-time former champion, Jim McDermott, from Fall River in the semifinals before losing 3-2. And McDermott went on to win his third title the next day against Kevin Clear. But he was the star of the show for the entire week, from Monday through Friday. And we were thrilled to see it for Jack, a great guy, and a truly outstanding, extraordinary performer, one of the most remarkable golfing performances I have ever seen from a local player, professional or amateur. And I thought it was appropriate to bring that up looking back 40 years. You guys know how much I love to go down memory lane.
I know that it was an emotional thing, but I want to ask you, Gary, you mentioned the time period here, which 1980 to me is yesterday, when it happened, you're covering this when it happened, do you have a sense of the greatness at that moment, or does this grow over time when other people never rise to that level?
Well, the fact that he was the oldest player ever to be a medalist in the on-site qualifying for 36 holes, the oldest player at 62 ever to reach the semifinals, and the oldest champion is 55-year-old Ed Fletcher, just an extraordinary accomplishment. In some ways, it compares with what Jack Nicklaus did at the age of 46 when he won the Masters. Because we're talking apples and oranges, but we're still talking a very high level of golf. And to see Jack beat all these guys half his age, some of them a third of his age, and outplay everybody for 36 holes of stroke play, and then outplay three young guys in match play before losing the semifinal. One of the truly extraordinary showings I've ever seen on a golf course, and great that it happened locally to a local guy. Jack's no longer with us. He passed away in his low 80s while he was playing golf in Ireland with his son. He pulled what we call a Bing Crosby, dying while he was on a European golf course on a holiday, and it's a pretty good way for us golfers. We all hope we go that way. not that we can say that, but a remarkable week for Jack, and We'll go down memory lane a couple more times this year. We have a few other things we can talk about. I would like to mention, guys, if I could, that Rob Oppenheim from Salem and Andover, who could not get into the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial that Berger won this past weekend. He had a play at the Corn Ferry, the second level tour event at the TPC Sawgrass down in Jacksonville. He finished tied for 44, shot 280 even par, and he'll unfortunately have to play again this week at the King and Bear Classic in St. Augustine. That'll also be on the Corn Ferry Tour. Hope he'll be back on the main tour one of these weeks coming up. And lastly, guys, I'd like to mention the passing last week of the winningest high school golf coach in the history of North Shore golf. Who is, guys?
The winningest high school golf coach.
That was Roger Lazon from Masconomet in Linfield High School. He coached 44 years.
You mentioned that in your article.
Yeah.
Yes, and Roger's a great guy, and he loved golf, and he died prematurely at 73. We've lost a few good guys in this category before their time, but I wanted to make note of the fact that Roger passed away. We wish him the very best, and we've lost a good member of the North Shore golf family.
Gary, I have to comment. I get the news, and that story was in the Friday edition, and I made a point to read it, and it was just, it's well done. Reading your stories is like stepping back in time and actually being there. That's what I love about your writing style.
Well, thanks, Tim. The check's in the mail, as usual.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. I love doing this stuff, as you guys know. I've been doing it for over 50 years, and being a historian, there's no sport, really. I mean, it's better with history than golf. We have such incredible golf history in the North Shore, and I'll keep writing it, but as long as the Lord gives me the opportunity.
Oh, amen to that, and it's so enlightening to get this stuff every week. And Gary, we can't afford what you're worth, but thank you so much for stopping by every week, because it's fun, it's enlightening, it's informing, and it's a great sports thing. I can't golf to save my life because I don't have the hand-eye coordination, but I can appreciate what it takes. So to bring that alive every week is awesome. And so that said, can you tease this week's article?
Well, I'm going to talk about Mr. Lazon. He was really a legend in North Shore High School golf circles. And after more than 45 years, well, goodness, what it was, 34 and 14, maybe 48 years coaching high school golf in the area, I want to give Roger a special note in my column this week. And he was a very special part of our golf family, and he was around for a lot of years and had a lot of great kids at Masconomet Linfield. A lot of laughs too. He's a fine player. So we're writing about Roger this week.
Sounds great, Gary. Stay safe. Hit him easy, as they say, and we'll see you next Monday.
And we'll keep this fantastic weather going for hopefully a seventh and an eighth week.
Let's do it. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That is Gary Larrabee, who is a sports historian, golf writer, and an actual sports encyclopedia on two legs. Absolutely. Let's take another break, and when we come back, we will talk with the Manchester Essex. Let me try that again. We'll talk with the Manchester Essex football coach, and we will be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at instantsavingsloans.com. Member FDIC, DIF, the lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, now we're back with the Manchester Essex High School football coach as we continue our swing around Cape Ann right now, Jeff Hutton. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't know about currents. Okay, there we go. Jeff, before we get started on stuff, let me ask you, you've got kids at home. What are their ages now?
We just had a birthday yesterday, so we're 9, 6, and 9 months.
Oh, my. Oh, ooh, I didn't know about that one. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a very busy fall.
That's right.
Well, that's my wife. She'll tell you all about it.
Yes, sir. I'm kind of afraid to tell you the truth. How's the homeschooling going?
Yeah, it's going all right. My year officially ended today at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And my girls go until Friday is the last day of school for them. So
okay,
we're wrapping it up here.
Jeff, how's that been for you now? What are you doing? How do you work that on? Do you work from home or with your classes? How's that go?
Yeah, I mean, everyone in the whole, obviously, almost the whole civilized world is doing the distance learning. So it's a little different being a phys ed teacher. We're kind of limited with some of the things we can do,
mm-hmm.
but we've made it work. The kids did a really good job, and you know my girls did a great job with it. You know, sometimes we're a little hard, and other times get them to do some schoolwork. But they missed their friends, they missed their teachers, but they did a lot of the Google Meets and the Zoom Meets with their parent, with the teachers and the their friends. So made it a little better.
Okay. Well, I know it's been tough on everybody. I've talked with a lot of teachers, a lot of parents, and this has not been easy. And what's to come, nobody knows at this point, but I know the plans are beginning to take shape. But before we do that, Coach, tell me a little bit about your seniors, because you're done with them in November. You're done with them around Thanksgiving, early December. But you still work with them. You still talk with them over the course of the rest of the year. They play other sports. They didn't get to play spring sports, but correct me if I'm wrong, you were pretty close to some of these kids this year. They were they were kind of a special group. I know every year you have that connection, but this seemed to be a pretty special group.
Yeah, well, we'll start with one of our captains, Henry Doan. He was our only four-year, out of that senior group, the only kid who was with us his entire 4 years of playing. Special kid. He's actually going to UMass Dartmouth to play football.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's great for us.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan Nowak, he was another captain, two-year player for us. I think he's going to come out of Amherst, not to play football, but he's going.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Luke Jourde, who was a first-year player for us as our kicker. He's actually going to Endicott to play football.
Excellent.
And then we have Anthony Reno, who's another kid who played for a couple years, took a year off, came back. And he's going to Norwich, and he's going to try to walk on the football team up there.
Jeff, seriously, you got three or four kids who are going to go on to play college football from...
That's the most I've had combined. We've had one kid. It was my first year. We had two kids, two captains that went and played, and after that, we haven't had anyone else.
That's amazing. So, that's terrific. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the kids that want to go play college sports, I feel they approach preparation and the game differently, and it doesn't matter what level they're playing at, they're going to play the football a little different than kids who aren't going to college, I feel. So we're really lucky that those kids were had that as a motivating factor to make them and their teammates better.
All right, before I let Coach Kearns interrogate you, tell me a little bit about what's going on during the summer. We just talked with Coach Dan O'Connor over at Gloucester High School.
Yep.
He was mentioning talking to another coach or two this summer and former coaches and so on, trying to see where we're headed. What's it been like so far for you and where you're headed?
Headed in terms of like preparation.
Well, just in terms of talking, have you talked to other coaches about the layoff this summer, because you can't have the organized, you know, you don't have the drills that you would have with a bunch of kids at all sports. You're not having the workouts. You're not having the weightlifting and so on. So have you talked with other guys about this?
Yeah, I'm actually really good friends with the Ipswich coach, Kevin Fassett.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I spent a lot of time commiserating.
Yep.
You know, about what we can and can't do right now, and everyone's kind of like, I'm sure they've mentioned the same thing. Everything's on hold. You know, we'd all want to get back, and I'm sure our kids that that didn't get a chance to play in the spring are chomping at the bit to get back together and some semblance of that competition and camaraderie that they missed, that they've really been taken away from them. So it's one of the situations where I know youth sports are about to start letting practice, but I feel that high school is kind of being like left alone, which is kind of weird, but I also understand. I think they're waiting what school is going to look like before they let school athletics. But you also can see other states around us, like you can see on Twitter, these kids that are going up to New Hampshire and going to these skills clinics, and they're posting videos of them playing catch with people with no masks on, and it's like, we're still not allowed to have organized workouts with our kids out on the field where we're all spaced. And so it's just kind of, I think that's frustrating for kids and for coaches as well, where you see how close these border states are, and they're kind of like nothing happened right now, and here we are still waiting. So I think that's, I understand it, but it doesn't make it easy to explain to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, and you?
Good. Listen, how long has it been since you left Beverly?
I just finished my fifth year at Manchester.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was in Beverly for what, 15 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's step back a bit. What were some of the biggest takeaways from your time at Beverly that you brought to Manchester Essex?
Oh, with Dan Bauer, I mean, it was preparation, being prepared for everything. And the funny thing is, we used to joke, and, we'd be like, hey, Dan, why are we trying to, like, because he was a defensive genius. Like, the things that he could come up with, you know, were way above in advance for even, like, some of the best high school programs in the country. And we would sit in meetings, and we'd always ask him, like, why would you do that? But now you see why, because if you prepare for all the crazy things that could possibly go wrong, then your kids feel more confident, you know. And I think the other thing, as crazy and as smart as Dan was, he found a way to make it super simple for the kids so they can just pin their ears back and play. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I've taken away as far as X's and O's, like make it as simple as possible so your kids can just play. Let them play.
Well, I'll tell you, go ahead, Tim.
The transition from, again, an assistant coach to the head coach, you bring all those factors, and you've had really good success at a really small Hello? School. You still there? Jeff?
Do we lose you, Jeff? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Cut out.
All right, yep.
Well, okay.
No, I got you.
What I was saying was, you went from a large program, Beverly, a good-sized school, lot of kids,
yep.
to a much smaller school, but you still were able to translate the lessons you had learned over the 15 years at Beverly into a concept that the kids could buy in. How satisfying is that to you in your time there?
Oh, it's been awesome. Like, the kids, you know, they're great kids over there. The kids like football. Like, they are football kids, you know, and that's a good thing. And I wish there was more of them. You know, we had 32 last year, but, you know, we obviously got 20, 25, which is fine. But the good thing is the kids are there, want to be there, you know. And like I said, the simple things in football, blocking and tackling. And all of our guys like to tackle, they like to hit, they play physical, and that makes up for a lot of other things that you're not great at. Or, you know, if you can hit and you're physical, you can pretty much dictate the pace of the game on both sides of the ball. And our guys will tell you, the running backs, the wide receivers, all those guys, they take pride in blocking. So it's a competition with the offensive lineman to see who's actually the better blocker. So when you get that going on, you have to really good opportunities to be successful in offense.
You know, Jeff, following you guys and covering a few of your games, that's one thing that's really has stood out. You haven't had, in the past, a lot of numbers. It's a small school. But on the other hand, the kids on the field, they're tough. They're tough kids. And it's, if you keep pointing out to me, football is football. So, and three or four kids going on to play college football, man, that says a lot for you, and it says a lot for the kids in the program.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. We're having a good time.
All right.
My wife keeps letting me do it.
Well, okay. I got one piece of advice. You ever heard of television at night? I'm just saying. You know, but you're a young guy and you're a young family, but again, congratulations, Jeff. This is fun. This is fun talking football, getting off all the political stuff and the pandemic stuff. And,
oh man, I look forward to it.
Yeah, this is great. And I look forward to seeing you in August or September, and let's hope things get back on an even keel here real quick.
You got it.
All right. Here. Jeff, we'll talk to you later. Stay healthy, man. And thank you for taking the time tonight. Appreciate it.
All right, same to you guys. Thank you. Good talking to you guys.
All right, Coach, take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, that's Jeff Hutton, who is the Manchester...
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Yep.
Manchester Essex High School football coach, and I think that's going to take care of it. Wow, it's already almost the hour is almost up. Coach Kearns, any final thoughts there?
No. It was a quick hour here. Always great talking to Gary. Again, it keeps me on my toes. He's got me going to the PGA website every week, seeing what's transpired and who's hot and who's not. You know, and it was great talking to a couple of my former students and athletes. And again, I knew Jeff from the time that we started covering Beverly High School back in the early aughts, meeting with, I would see him at the practices talking to Dan up in the coach's room. They'd all be in there on their way out, and that was such a great staff to work with, to talk to, and Dan did a great job in setting these guys up for success. So I want to wish all those guys the best of luck as we go forward.
Talking to Jeff, and he's a big dude. Oh my goodness! But he's so enthusiastic and so upbeat to talk with, and he works and as he was saying, explaining things to the kids. But the thing that I come away with, Tim, is the fact that I think, much like when we talk about Winthrop, we talk about Rockport as small schools. The success doesn't have to do with numbers. It has to do with quality. And for Jeff to do what he's done over at Manchester Essex, to me, is remarkable, because those kids on the football field are tough. Not a lot of them. You know, if somebody goes down, if somebody is sick or something or other, it's hard to replace them. But the kids out there, as he said, they want to play football, and they're tough kids. And you know, as you know, football, what'd you tell me? If you can't take it, join the chess club or something like that?
Well, it's amazing. You know, I look back to some of Paul's teams that didn't have large numbers. You know, there'd be 11 guys lined up on offense, and the ball would change position, and those 11 guys on offense would turn around and be 11 guys on defense.
Yeah,
yep. And that was just toughness. That's all it is. The kids there, they're tough.
Yep.
And they want to succeed. They don't want to let the fact that they're a small school, you know, be used against them. So they strap it on a little bit tighter, and they go right after you.
And that goes right up to the top, right to the coach. All right, Tim, maybe we'll talk Red Sox next week. Who knows? But I think that's got such a bitter taste in my mouth, I think we'll leave it for now.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
I feel the same.
All right. Hey, Tim, thanks. This has been fun, and it's been a quick hour. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Okay, Rick. We'll talk.
All right, Tim. Good night.
Good night.
Take care. That is Tim Kearns, who is our ambassador of goodwill, and of course our analyst extraordinaire here on MSO. That'll take care of it for tonight. Hope you'll be with us again next Monday night. And please, again, need your opinion, your advice, your suggestions at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. So on behalf of Bill Proposky and Tim Kearns, I'm Rick Moore. Have a really good week. And for heaven's sakes, stay safe and do the right thing. This is msonewsports.com.